Portage Health Foundation is proud to introduce you to Do Good Volunteer of the Month, Emily Kendall Frusty. Emily volunteers with Houghton Keweenaw Communities That Care, a program under Dial Help. She is a dedicated community member that is very passionate about suicide prevention and awareness, especially for youth. She is an advocate for mental health and breaking the stigma that surrounds suicide and the prevention of. If you know an incredible volunteer like Emily, go to dogoodcc.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Do Good in the Copper Country Volunteer of the Month.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. We're brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. Of course, you can find out more about them and their mission at phfgive.org. The closing of Finlandia University has been a sad note for our entire community. It has brought up a lot of different concerns and a lot of opportunities and some things that look like they're going to turn into some positives, perhaps, out of this dark cloud. One of them is that the Finnish American Heritage Center may start getting some support from something called the Finlandia Foundation. We haven't heard much about the Finlandia Foundation over the years here, so I thought we would find out about them this morning, and I welcome in the president of the Finlandia Foundation, Anne Marie Pastor, who is on the line from Boston. Am I right?
That is right. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for your time and for filling us in on the Finlandia Foundation. I suppose, Anne Marie, we should start by explaining that even though the two organizations shared the name Finlandia, there is no connection and never has been any formal connection between the Finlandia Foundation and Finlandia University.
That is correct.
And you were the Finlandia Foundation long before Finlandia University became Finlandia University, because that only happened about 25 years ago when they changed the name from Suomi College. So you've been around longer than that.
Well, we have been around longer than that, but obviously Suomi College has a longer history. And Suomi College and Finlandia University, they are like 126 years old. We have our 70th anniversary this year. So Finlandia Foundation National was established by Yrjö Paloheimo in Pasadena, California, 70 years ago. And the entire purpose for starting this and forming this organization was to support and celebrate Finnish American heritage while at the same time maintaining ties to contemporary Finland.
Yeah, I did have somebody in my studio quite a number of years ago, and I asked her, what's the difference between Hancock and Finland? And she said, oh, Hancock is much more Finnish. And she went on to explain that we tend here to look at the time frame in Finland that our ancestors emigrated from. And of course, Finland has moved significantly forward in the last 120 years. It is a very modern country, a very successful country, just again topped the list of the happiest nations on the face of the earth. So the Finland that we portray here tends to be a little quaint, I think, in the view of some actual Finns.
Yeah, that is true. People are still living like 1950s Finland in a way. On the other hand, we are trying to bring all of this together, because I don't think that we should not forget the Finnish America from the past, and because that has a very specific history of people immigrating here long time ago, 100 years ago. And I think that what they brought Finland of that time and develop that on their own ways, but we have to keep them kind of together and support each other in a way.
So over the past 70 years, what kind of projects has the Finlandia Foundation been involved with to try to keep this heritage moving?
Well, we have different kinds of programs, and initially we started with different award programs. So we have scholarship programs for college students and grants. We give grants to Finnish or Finnish American projects. So that has been from the very beginning. And then we have brought in or supported local Finnish American new programs quite a lot. So for example, if I take the scholarship programs, that was initially just for fairly high quality musical students, but nowadays it is for any college student of Finnish Americans or somebody studying Finnish or whatever it might be. And then since that, we have added different types of cultural programs. We have Lecturer of the Year, Performer of the Year, Artist of the Year, that we, and we select those on an annual basis, and those tour around the country in communities. And we've had international music camps and other programs as well. So it's quite a gamut of different types of programs. And during the last couple of years, because of the pandemic, we also created virtual programs that can be found in our Finposium.
Finposium, I like that.
Yes, it's a YouTube channel that we have, and that we have informational series, different types of interviews of business people, art people, athletes, and book talks and such. So it's quite a broad spectrum of different activities that we have nowadays.
What kind of contact have you had with the Finnish American community here in Hancock?
Well, we actually have two chapters, at least in Michigan. One in Upper Peninsula and one in Farmington Hills. So we have chapters. We have a local Finlandia Foundation chapters there. And we work with them fairly closely. We also, our communications manager, she's a consultant, but she's from Michigan. So, and last year we had one of our board meetings in Michigan. We were in Farmington Hills just to visit the local people and connect with them. So we have a connection with locals, but how widely Finlandia Foundation in general is known, that is something that we are trying to build on and really build connectivity and visibility within the organization, like Finlandia Foundation National being the umbrella organization, and then these chapters, we have to support them and in their activities.
You said that the organization was started in Pasadena, California. Is there a Finnish connection to Pasadena?
The Finnish connection was that then Consul General Palo Heimo living there, and he started that initially. So that was the connection.
Okay, because I know that we tend to think of ourselves as the center of North American Finnishness here in the Houghton and Hancock area, but I know that there are other areas where Finnish heritage is probably equally strong. What are some of the other areas where you see a lot of Finnish activity going on?
There's obviously a lot of activities in Minnesota. There is a very strong community in Portland, Oregon, or Seattle, Washington. What else could I mention? Just a little bit different. Oh, Massachusetts. We have five chapters here in Massachusetts. Like we are a small state, but there's tons of people here in Cape Ann and the Pittsburgh area, as well as in Boston area. And then we have a different type of the population in Florida, which is lots of people summering there But that's also a Finnish-American community there. So we have different pockets all around the country.
Yeah,
and if I look at... Yeah.
Up north around the bay, I know in Thunder Bay, Ontario, there's a big Finnish community.
Yes. I am just not so familiar with that. Whatever happens across the board, I am not so familiar with that.
Okay. And we're kind of familiar with that Finnish community down in the suburban Detroit area, because a lot of those people are cousins to people here. They are people who emigrated out of this area downstate to take jobs in the automobile plants after the mines started slowing down here. So a lot of people up here are at least distantly related to a lot of those people down in the suburban Detroit area.
That is correct. And there's always, I think that maybe I'm wrong, but there's always a competition of who has the best pasties.
And who has the best hockey players? We have well, and it's really been odd, because we have people from the same family who have come up here to Michigan Tech University to play hockey. Some of them are local and some of them are from Southeast Michigan, and they're distant cousins and they're related and they come back here to play hockey. So it's a big hockey community down there. And there's always a competition as to who has the best pasty, I suppose, even though we know that pasties are not Finnish.
That is correct. Like I actually had pasties for the first time last October when I was visiting Farmington Hills. So I'm like, I loved it, but never had it before.
Well, and it's, I guess, an example of how cultures get mashed together. Because there are still people here who think that pasties are Finnish. And, of course, we know that pasties were actually brought here from Cornwall, Cornish miners who came earlier than the Finnish immigration wave came through, and they brought pasties. And, of course, now everybody who's Finnish here figures pasties are theirs, too. We adopt what comes along, don't we?
That is so true.
So as you look across the country, how do you keep track of all of the things that are going on in these disparate places?
Well, we are trying to be quite active as we are an umbrella organization. So we have quarterly meetings with our chapter representatives. Those are all virtual meetings, and we update them on our activities and what is going on and try to guide them through what to do next. Because obviously all these communities, they are suffering a little bit of aging, let's put it mildly. So we are trying to energize them and help them out how to find new members and how to figure out new programs possibly. And then we have also in-person meetings. Those are like every couple of years. But those virtual meetings, quarterly virtual meetings are very, very important to stay connected with the chapters. And obviously we try to keep our virtual office door open all the time. So we take any questions. We are always willing to talk to them and really trying to build rapport with all of them. And I think that it is the same. We all have the same problem as all the other cultural organizations. It's a generation issue. So we are very strongly and heavily investing in next generation and trying to get young people involved. And we have now established 2 years ago the Young Leaders Board that works alongside with the regular board, so that we're changing the face of the organization a little bit. I remember people telling me that old days, they remember Finlandia Foundation because they went to dance with their parents that Finlandia Foundation was organizing. Those dances don't take place anymore, so we are kind of trying to figure out some sort of a substitute for dances, like how do we engage younger people so that they will learn to know Finlandia Foundation also.
Well, and that's been a problem that we've had here too, that we've been trying to work on. I go to events where Finnish heritage is prominent, and the average age is not exactly real young at this point. We do have some organizations that bring kids in. We have a young dance troupe, the Kiviat Dancers, who bring in elementary school age kids and teach them a lot of traditional Finnish dances, and they're very excellent. So we've got a little bit of an outreach that way, but the population of people who are involved in the Finnish heritage things tends to be graying a bit here too.
I always joke around the age question. It's like anybody under 60 is considered young. So everything is relative, I have to say.
Yeah. So, but I suspect that's a natural thing. The further we are time-wise away from those roots, the fainter they grow.
True, but there's always new people coming in. Like myself, I came here 26 years ago. I have two children, one of them born here. So she's already the first generation then. So time goes on.
How did you find out that Finlandia University here was in trouble?
Well, we all saw the press release that came out on March 2nd. So that was really was shocking news. There had obviously been rumors that things are not great, but the thing I had never expected this to happen.
Well, and I don't think a lot of us here did either. And we saw the same things, I think, that you saw from afar, that the university was struggling, that the enrollment was down. But you just never expect that a university as treasured as Finlandia was in this community is going to disappear, is going to shut down. So you saw that. What was your reaction, and particularly in regards to that part of the university that we know as the Finnish American Heritage Center?
Well, what I did immediately is, like, because of the importance of our cultural heritage, we called special meeting or emergency meeting of the board, and we discussed this right that evening of March 2nd. And we unanimously agreed that this is something we have to work on. This is probably the most important project that we have ever had under Finlandia Foundation National's life cycle, besides it being formed 70 years ago. So this was it was hugely important for us. And although the archives and these extensive collections of Finnish North American materials, they are extensive. They are, like, irreplaceable. You have to keep them together. Our communications manager came with this wording that this is like a Smithsonian of Finnish America, and that was a driver. That's like, this is, we are going to do everything, anything we can to keep it together. So that's what we are working on. But it's not linear. It's not straightforward at all.
Well, and the things that I think you look at about the Finnish American Heritage Center are the things that are really kind of background in our community. What we see when we see the Finnish American Heritage Center is we see the programs that they put on, the Finnish American Folk School classes that they put on, the dances, the involvement with Hagen Paiva and the Midsummer Festival and things of that nature. So are those things also going to be able to continue if your focus is more on the archives and the heritage side of things?
Yes, Folk School is part of this project, as is Finnish American Reporter and the War Museum and the Art Gallery and the bookstore. Those are all part of projects that we are working on.
So if this is the biggest project you have taken on as a national organization, this is going to take a fair amount of money, I would think.
That is correct.
Where do you find it?
That is a very, very good question. We will be creating a campaign around this. We have already received lots of interest and concern over how this is going to be working forward. And we hope that from the community at large, we will find support and financial assistance in this.
So I assume that certainly because your organization is not necessarily hugely well healed in that regard, that it's going to be partly on us here in the community to step up and provide some of the funding to keep this service going.
Yeah, I'm talking about community at large. I'm not
okay.
Talking about just the UP community. I'm talking about the community in the United States in general, as well as in Finland.
Okay. I think that we probably don't, it's our neighbor. We see what goes on there all the time. We perhaps don't recognize then the significance of what is in that building and those archives at the Heritage Center. Maybe we don't realize the significance of that in relation to Finnish American communities and the rest of the nation?
Yeah, maybe that's the case. For example, the most recent add-on was the War Museum collection that came from Florida. So I think that maybe the local people don't know so much about it, but it's there. It's a fabulous collection of Second World War materials. Then we have materials from Seattle that they've sent, or Portland, Oregon, Astoria. So it is, this concerns a larger audience, not only the local. Yes, you have the folk school, and that draws in local people, but the collection at large, it's way broader than just UP. But UP is the right place right now.
All right.
And then the other thing is that obviously this includes enormous amount of paper. So we have to actually get to the next century and start digitizing all these materials so that it actually becomes available for larger audiences.
Well, it could be online. It could be something that anybody could access from anywhere in terms of research. Are there people who come here and do research based on the material that we have here?
I believe so, but it's a small group of people, and Hancock is not exactly easy travel destination. So I think that creating online presence would change that quite a lot.
Now, the Finnish American Heritage Center is a large building. Northwind Books is rather attached to it, or at least adjacent to it. Will the foundation look to actually purchase and own that property?
That is one possibility, and that is on the table. Obviously, there are lots of issues, or maybe not complications, but concerns, because this is not in an open market. This is universities in a different situation, and we have to go through whatever the right channels are. That is one of the possibilities to keep everything, whatever is there at the Heritage Center as is right now, or consider potentially other locations around that area.
Okay, because you got to keep it open for at least another week or so, because I'm playing a dance to benefit the young Kiviat dancers there on the 31st. So we've got to keep it open through the 31st so we can raise money for the kids, okay?
Yep, we are closing it anytime soon.
All right. Well, and that, frankly, was one of the best pieces of news that has come out of this, because we treasure that Finnish American Heritage Center, and we treasure the people who work there, and we know how hard they work at trying to maintain this heritage here in Hancock and spread this out across the nation. A lot of people here are not familiar necessarily with the Finnish American Reporter, even though it is edited and put together here. Explain what that is.
Well, that I am probably not the right person to explain what the Finnish American Reporter is, but I can only give my own personal view of it. I think that is a really truly Finnish American newspaper reporting Finnish American news. This is not how would I say it kindly? This is not a copy and paste from any other publications. This is original, unique, and it also gathers stories from other Finnish American communities, not only what's in UP. So I'm a subscriber. I really like the paper, and I like reading it in an old newspaper format also, but I don't know if that's the future, but nevertheless, it's very, very important for Finnish America. And in Massachusetts, we used to have a similar publication called Raivaaja that went under a couple of years ago, and it's really sad. Like, this is probably the only one. I can be wrong, but I do not know of any similar paper or similar caliber paper right now. So it would be really, really sad if that went away.
Now, this could turn into a very long-term project. Is this something that the Finlandia Foundation is prepared to take on indefinitely, or would you be looking at some point to set up a separate organization that would try to keep this part of Finlandia here going?
It could be part of Finlandia Foundation national projects going forward, but it could also become an independent business. This unit of this Smithsonian of Finnish America, it could become a unit that could be its own business. That's there to be seen, and we have to work through all the iterations and alternatives and see what's what. But initially, we would like to get our hands on it and then build on it. And I also want to mention that this is, like, as we are doing this, this is to honor the local community there, and also the contributions of Suomi College and Finlandia University, and kind of like keeping this Finland in America. I think it is important, and there has been along the way lots of benefactors who have supported these activities and projects, And it would be really sad for all involved to see this go.
All right, we've got to wrap this up talking with Anne-Marie Pastor. She is the president of the Finlandia Foundation. I'm sure that we have a lot of water to cover here before we get to the other end of the bridge on this one as things get sorted out. But on behalf of the community, I'll take the liberty of thanking you and the foundation for stepping in on this. This is a very important thing to us, and the news that you were going to get involved with it was very, very welcome here. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for your kind words, and we'll do our best, and all hands on deck. That's how we go forward.
And thank you for your time on Copper Country today.
Thank you.